Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to brotherlance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
You are listening to Episode 3. I'm Brother Lance, and this is the Christian Soul Prepper Podcast. The majority of you will not make it past 4 minutes into this podcast. For those of you who continue on, you will be blessed and equipped to weather the storm ahead. We're talking about how to rejoice and survive and thrive during persecution.
We are on a mission to help the body of Christ worldwide, preparing the faithful for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We do this by exposing the tricks of the devil, diving deep into the Word of God, and doing life together. Along the way, we'll include a power promise to claim and ridiculous trivia. We are not alone. We have a divine hope for home. Welcome to the Christian Soul Prepper Podcast. Right here, right now, we give you the God's honest truth. Be sure to bookmark brotherlance.com for all the latest podcasts, video, Bible studies, social media, and more. Now here's your host, Brother Lance.
Is it possible to rejoice during persecution? Does the Bible say you must stick around and be persecuted? If given a chance or choice to flee and save your life, would this be denying God? We're going to be answering these questions right now, but first, it's the Power Promise.
Now it's time for the Power Promise, God's Word for your every need.
Are you feeling worried? Well, here's your Power Promise. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7.
Write it down, remember it, recite it often. It's the Power Promise.
It is possible to rejoice during persecution, and we'll be talking about how right now. Dear Heavenly Father, give us the Holy Spirit, direct us, guide us into all your truth, and guide us to what you would have us to know today to be encouraged in our faith with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. As we discuss how to rejoice when persecuted, we must lay down a foundational viewpoint. We find it in 1 Peter 4:19. Let's read. Therefore, let them also who suffer according to the will of God and doing good entrust their souls to him as a faithful creator. As we read, it is trust or to entrust our lives into God's hands. If we can approach persecution with rock solid belief that we are not alone, that God is watching us, and he has a plan in this, and on top of that, we'll be rewarded for the effort. Then we can meet the moment with hope in our hearts that it will glorify God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If we understand that nothing is happening without God's oversight, and we refrain from believing that it is some freak occurrence going on right now in our lives, right, and that it just all happened by chance, then as we trust God in the moment, we can understand that we have been called up by God to stand and testify for him and to his glory, allowed to be partnered with the Lord, right? This is an opportunity, counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to read some very good verses, and I'll point out the power aspects of these verses. So let's read Luke 6:22-23. Blessed. That's the first point. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall exclude you and mock you and throw out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For their fathers did the same thing to the prophets, right? So this is Jesus encouraging us. We find that we are blessed by God if the world hates us because of him. We have a great reward in heaven that will not fade away or be spent or ever be done away with or ever stolen or taken from us. We're also told to rejoice and leap for joy, right? Here's the thing. It depends if you're earth-focused or heaven-focused. Where our treasures are, our heart will also be. If earth-focused, then yes, it will be hard to rejoice. If you're heaven-focused, because we know that this place is not our home, that we have been entrusted with suffering for a whole life, He's going to give us what we could in no otherwise way gain. Then yes, be filled with joy and leap. You've been allowed to do something not offered to everyone, right? Let's read. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial which has come upon you to test you, as though a strange thing has happened to you. But because you are partakers of Christ's suffering, rejoice that in the revelation of his glory, you also may rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is being blasphemed, but on your part, he is being glorified. Don't be astonished if some strange thing has happened. Expect it as a possibility and prepare your soul for it. Having been personally, physically assaulted, financially hurt, maligned, lied about, and just about every other type of persecution you want to place in there, I can tell you that there is an amazing sense of God's presence that rests on you. For me, it didn't mean my feelings were not hurt or that I liked being shoved around or that the wall I hit felt better or that the mocking was so much fun. But in all of it, it's best described as it's like being held up from within. Like God has a hold of your soul and is carrying you forward. We are humans and have human emotions, but the peace that passes all understanding and the inward strength from God and sense of comforting from the Holy Spirit is like none other and has to be experienced to be understood. The spirit of glory of God is an amazing experience that comes with a price, and it's a price worth paying. And it's a situation or a gifting only experienced through persecution. It's like earned in persecution, that when you're persecuted, you have earned this. And it's a gift that God gives you to strengthen you. So even in the persecution, you're not being left alone. Let's read Acts 5, 4 through 41. They agreed with him, summoning the apostles. They beat them and commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for Jesus' name. Counted worthy to suffer. What must a believer do to be counted worthy to suffer for God? It's like being hired for a job and you're the best candidate for that job and you'll receive elite level pay for the work required. Not everyone can walk in the path like those special and faithful ones of the Lord, those dear precious souls that God can count on. So rejoice that your Father in heaven has confidence in your faith in him and your ability to trust him in a manner most never can or ever will. You have the eye of God upon you. Rejoice, rejoice with that. Let's recap. In our understanding here, we have to be heavenly focused, right? We got to be not earthly focused, but heaven focused, God focused, right? When we are God focused, we know that no matter what goes on, we have rewards in heaven, right? That we are not supposed to be astonished. It's a guarantee from our Lord that this is going to happen. And that when it happens, that we are being entrusted with an opportunity by our Father to stand for him in this world. It's not a victim mentality. It's a, I believe in my servant so-and-so, whoever your name is, and I know they will stand by me and be a testimony upon this earth and not deny me. That's what it means, right? You have been counted worthy, and the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, right? You have been counted worthy. That's how you rejoice. You realize what's going on, that you have been called up. You have been you have applied for a job. Your application has been accepted. You've been hired and you are going to receive elite level pay from the maker of heaven and earth for the job that you were doing for him. And in that, you can have ultimate happiness and rejoicing. Not that your feelings are going to be great. Not that you're going to be happy in the moment. But inside, you know that there's something greater going on and that your Father is watching you. One day, upon the glorious shores of heaven, you're going to get to hear your father say, "That's my boy," or "That's my girl, the one who did not deny me on the face of the earth." That is a gift you can give your Father God, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is a very precious gift because it comes at such a high cost, right? Persecution is not fun. Having experienced it, it is no fun in the moment. But like I said, there's just something there provided by our Father that in the persecution, and I read stuff from like Voice of the Martyrs and I read their devotionals and stuff and a bunch of different ones online from other organizations, you know, and they talk about it. There's a peace. There's like an ability to forgive. It's like supernatural moments that you can't even explain any other way other than God is in it, that he's with you, right? And so while they attack your physical, your spiritual is guarded. It can't be touched. It's being infused and filled up and empowered by a righteous, holy God. Because once you make that decision, that determination in your heart that I am not going to deny, I am not going to turn around, and God knows that they made the decision, they're on board, then boom, it comes on you, right? And it stays in you. But if you sit there and meet your persecution with doubt in your heart, and you're still trying to decide if you're going to deny God or not, then you're going to be left in limbo in this weird space until you make that decision. So just jump in it, man. Just take it on. Just be like, this is what's up. I'm going to be like, me and God, we're tight. Jesus died for me. Nobody else did. This ain't happening. I ain't denying. I'm walking forward. And I promise you, you will experience something you have never experienced before when it comes walking with God. It's like when witnessing, I do street ministry. You know, when you go out to witness to people and share the love of God, you can feel the power of God come upon you when you do that. And, so it's a beautiful thing, but see, all these things there's a price. Okay. You gotta be willing to pay the price. Everybody wants to talk about Christianity is free. Like, you know, they're giving away popcorn or something, right? And get your bag. It's free. No, there's a price. Salvation is free. But once you have been saved, believe me, brothers and sisters, there is a price. And it's a price worth paying, and it's a price that we all must pay. And as long as we're willingly walk forward, man, we get all the blessings. Do it with no reservations. Do it for the glory of God, okay? The Bible does not say you have to stick around and be persecuted, though. Did you know that? Actually, it says to do the opposite. When you obey the Bible and its teachings, it is not denying God. It's active obedience, okay? Now, most people are like, well, if I run and I don't get persecuted, Lance, you done did, you know, so many episodes here about being persecuted. Yes, because most people shy away from it. But do you know what? They shy away from it from the wrong position. They shy away from it in a denial of God in Christ, right? So what we're going to be taught here is something our Lord taught us in the New Testament. And so a lot of times people suffer persecution when it's avoidable. So let's just jump in. Okay, let the cry of all believers be what we see in Psalms 118:17. I will not die but live and declare the works of Yahweh, right? As we start covering how to survive persecution, let us lay down a foundation for the discussion, okay? It's Romans 14:7-8. For none of us lives to himself and none dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. Or if we die, we die to the Lord. If therefore we live or die, we are the Lord's. Our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we are the precious possession of God. In Psalms 116:15, it says the following, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You belong to God, and he doesn't willy-nilly execute his children on the altar of the world, right? No, it's always for a reason a believer dies or suffers persecution for his faith, and they are rewarded for it, okay? So that being said, if we live, we die, it's unto the Lord. If we live under the Lord. If we die, we die under the Lord. So as long as we have that confidence that, listen, no matter what happens, we're going to do that. But God gives us wisdom, people. He needs workers in the field, right? And so if you can go forward and escape a persecution that is not necessary without publicly denying the Savior, you're encouraged to do so. And I'm going to prove it to you. It's in the Bible. Did you know that Jesus tells you to flee persecution? Notice he is saying to avoid death, you must flee. It's Matthew 10, 22 through 23. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. It endures that hatred. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into the next. For most certainly I tell you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man has come. Right? So what is he saying? When persecution arises, don't waste your time. Go to fertile ground. That's what he's saying. It's like, listen, there's so many cities in Israel. Get it done. If they're not wanting in this one area, right? What does he say? Dust the dirt off your feet. Leave. Okay? This is missionary 101 here. So Jesus says, don't just stick around. Don't be foolish. Okay? So unless you've been called by God to stay and die or be persecuted, you have a standing order from Jesus to run away and flee. Your death would be an ultimate witness, yet your life will be a weapon against the forces of darkness. You can live and declare the love of God elsewhere. Imagine for a moment if though all those who were willing to go were for God that have been martyred yet were not expressly called to martyrdom. Imagine if they were still alive and working for the gospel today. How much faster the work would be accomplished. Some have been called to die. Most are called to live and declare the glory of God. Let's look at the biblical example of fleeing and running away. So this is biblical proof of what I just said and what Jesus just said, okay? So Acts 8:1, Saul was consenting to his death. A great persecution arose against the assembly, which was in Jerusalem in that day, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Notice the apostles are called to stay. And they do as they should. And the people fled and they were scattered as they should. This forced the gospel to go farther out into the world. Persecution made the believer find a new and fertile ground to live in and to share, right? So that persecution comes. The apostles were called to stay. They stayed. That's what we almost do. If we're called to stay, then we're by all means. If you leave, you're in sin. You're in rebellion. You have denied the Lord and not obeying the Spirit. But unless you are called to stay, you are called to flee. You have to flee. God's going to use you other places. Jesus tells the people again to run away from the troubles and persecutions in Luke 21, 20 through 22. Let's read. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the middle of her depart. Let those who are in the country not enter therein. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Running away to spare your life is not denying God. It's wise and prudent to continue to live and work and spread the gospel around the world. If you can't flee or are called to stay, then you cannot deny Jesus. You must die as a martyr or be persecuted. If given the opportunity or foresight or told in the Spirit to flee for your life, then you should. Spare your family and flee. There are people all over the world that need to hear the gospel, and they need people like you to bring it to them, right? So unless you're called to stay, you're expressly given an order by your Lord and Savior to flee. We find this next scripture a definitive guideline for those who are wise, okay? It's Proverbs 23:3. A prudent man sees danger and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer from it or for it, right? If you see danger, like some of the books I already talked about when ISIS came in and they knew months in advance, right? And they stayed. They knew like 2 months in advance that ISIS was coming. Christians stayed. They had 2 months warning. They could have fled, but they didn't. They stayed. And a lot of them paid a horrible price because they didn't know or didn't respond well to the command of Jesus, right? Or the Proverbs of Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man sees danger and hides himself, right? We have to be wise as serpents, the Bible tells us, right? Harmless is the wisest serpents. We have to understand that this is a warfare, right? So we don't always have to go chasing charging the front line with bayonet and bullets out, screaming, you know, I love Jesus to be effective. If you can live and declare the gospel, create converts, and create an army of human beings that walk this planet also doing the same, that is a mighty weapon in the hand of God. martyrdom is too, because sometimes the blood of the saints is what it takes for the gospel to grow. But I'm just saying, you're not assigned to just one. You're assigned to whatever the Holy Spirit leads you into. If you're not called to stay, then go. Now, if you're called to stay, then realize you are not alone. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In your weakness, the power of God is exploded in the spiritual realm. The power of Christ and the glory of God rest upon you. You are not alone in that moment or experience. You have partnered with God to fulfill a goal that will bring you glory to your God, right? As a testimony to this earth and to this planet. It's a beautiful thing. You're not alone. Matthew 16:24-27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the world and forfeits his very own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he'll render to everyone according to his deeds." Right? So in those moments, like, you, okay, the city's surrounded. I've heard of a ministry that this happened to. Everyone fled. This lady felt like she was called to stay. I don't even know what happened to her, but it was going to be bad. They were coming in, and she felt like she was called to stay. I've heard of another pastor in Iraq who did the same thing, called to stay. Okay, many people fled. He was told not to go, so he stayed like he should. Okay, so if you lose your life, for God's sakes, you gain it. But if you try to save your life or protect yourself in disobedience, right, then you have lost your life. And so what I'm trying to do here is give you both sides. You're not assigned to just one. You're assigned to whatever the Holy Spirit guides you to, right? The sacred breath of God leads you into, right? So you have to be in prayerful consideration of the situation. You know, I will tell you right now, if there was a great persecution coming and it was marching across the state and I knew it was going to eventually get to my house, I'm gone. I'm gone unless God says, no, let's stay. Other than that, I'm gone. You don't have to tell me twice. I'll be gone weeks in advance. Because guess what, guys? We have to be smart. We have to be wise. We don't love our possessions. We don't love our house as if our house takes care of us, or all the things we have are more important to us than our own lives or lives of our families. No, that's ridiculous. They're just stuff. You know what? I only got one life. My families, they only have one life, right? And it's my duty to protect them. So now if God told me to send my family away and stay, I'd do that too. But the point being, do what the Lord tells you to do. Be led by the Spirit, okay? So closing verse, we have to be ready to endure persecution, always willing to die in order not to deny Jesus, yet ever looking for the Holy Spirit's guidance. Fleeing from trouble and persecution is not denying God or Jesus. It's being obedient to your Lord as he commanded you to flee. If you're called to stay, then you must stay, but stay with fire in your belly and confidence that death is not the end. It's a doorway we all go through. Yet a select few get to walk through the door with the power and the glory of God and Christ upon them. And those are the martyrs. Okay? Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Right? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You bear the presence of God everywhere you go. You are the temple of God. You have purpose in this life. The flesh fades, but the reward is eternal. No matter the way the persecution comes in, right? In this life, the rest assured, you have God's attention. The angels watch your faith and wonder, right? They marvel at the faith of humanity. And the world will be judged by the righteous deeds done in the name of God, Yahweh, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are a spectacle to the spiritual realm. They sit there and marvel at the commitment for being so filled with faith and confidence of what we haven't even seen. Most have never touched or peered into. But we know it's there because we can tell God is real. The heavens declare the glory of God, right? We have experiential faith. We've seen him come through in our prayers, right? And guess what, guys? Great, is the reward. Do not deny Jesus by one, trying to avoid persecution. And do not deny Jesus by willingly accept a persecution that can be avoided. Okay? We have to be wise as serpents. Live to fight another day. I will not die, but live and declare the works of Yahweh. Let that be, you know, your goal in life until called upon. Don't shorten your time on this earth needlessly. Be wise, right? Be wise.
Yes, that's right. It's time for some totally ridiculous trivia. Who comes up with this stuff anyways? I mean, really, where do you find it? Wait. Don't say anything that's going to make me feel dumber.
What did God say he was going to rub in the faces of the priesthood for not keeping his ways? Now, you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not listen and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says Yahweh of armies, then I will send the curse on you. I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have cursed them already, because you have not taken heed or to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and will spread the dung on your faces, even the dung of your feast, and you'll be taken away with it. Malachi 2, 1 through 3. So apparently it's a dung feast.
Oh, you're done? Yes, the people rejoice. It's over. Thank goodness. Tune in next time when we can insult your intelligence all over again. Have a good day.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to live and declare the glory of God. Live and declare the glory of God. And when the moment and time comes and a persecution arises, then be willing to die for the glory of God. So if we live for the glory of God or die for the glory of God, we are the Lord's. That's what the Bible verse says, right? So no matter what happens, we have confidence that we're in God's plan. He has a will, and he has given us wisdom how to best survive persecution and how to rejoice and thrive in it, knowing the outcome is sure, that this momentary blip in history will pass, but eternity is forever. The gifts of God is forever. The glory of God is forever. Your testimony for your persecution or death and for your faith in God and Jesus will last forever. What could be more important? We can die to ourselves today and follow the Lord. One day we may have to die physically for the Lord, right? We could buffet the flesh and can cause ourselves to submit to God today. And one day we might be buffeted by persecutors. But in all of it, we give glory to our Father. He is worthy. We give glory unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy. And it is worth it. Believe me. When you're sitting on the shores of heaven and you're looking back, you can say, I believed, I did not deny, I bore my cross, I followed my Lord and Savior, I shared in his suffering and his glory. And that is the testimony that no one will ever take from you for all eternity. It will be known and never forgotten. I love you guys. Be blessed. See you back again next week with another podcast.
Thank you for joining us in this time of fellowship. Visit weshallbelikeem.com to download your free copy of a 45-day transformation devotional. Be sure to check out our website at brotherlance.com to stay up to date. We really appreciate your support for sharing with your friends and family and leaving positive reviews. Together, we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This has been the Christian Soul Prepper Podcast, preparing your soul for the second coming.